A mile or so away, in the airless deeps of the old redoubt, a pair of crimson eyes clicked on in the blackness.
So, Yankee, this is it?
Looks like it.
How is the truce?
Until we beat the droid. And we beat it.
I beat it, Connor. The honor of victory is mine, is it not?
The building was silent. The jerky pendulum movement was gradually slowing down.
I guess it is.
What is honor, Connor? And do you have it? Will you let me fall, or will you help me to ascend? Which?
With only one effective hand, and other crippling injuries, the Russian couldn't possibly climb back to safety without help. Nor could he hold on long enough for help to come in from outside the thick-walled building. Within a minute or so, he'd lose his hold on the rusting strands of the cable and plummet to a sickening death. Ryan knew what the traitor would have done, knew what he should do. But he began to crawl slowly down, a gloved hand reaching out to help Semyonian.
No, Dad!
I promise, Dean.
I didn't. I'll chill him. I swear on my mother's death that I'll chill him.
We had a truce.
Until that steel bastard was wasted. It's gone now. The truce is done. He's done.
Ryan glanced up, seeing the heavy automatic held in both hands, Dean keeping his grip on the stanchion by wrapping his legs around it.
You pull that trigger, and you could get thrown off.
I know that, Dad. My chance, I'll take it.
He is his father's son, is he not, Ryan Cotter?
Yeah, he is.
The round, pocked face stared up, a pale sphere in the gloom.
I would not want one so young to carry so heavy a burden.
A smile flashed across his face.
Goodbye, Calder. And your boy.
The hand opened, quite deliberately, and Major Commissar Grigory Zemyanin fell to his doom. Nothing in his brutal life equaled the manner of his passing. Dean led the way up the web of hawsers and thinner wires to a ladder gallery that ran around under the roof. From there, they managed to pick a route down onto the safer levels below. Getting out and onto the mountain wasn't difficult. The guards were unsettled, the word passing that Semyonian had gone into the cavernous building over 2 hours ago, and nothing was known since. Someone claimed to have caught the sound of gunfire, and someone else said he'd heard cries that could have been laughter, pain, or sorrow. One of the sec men, armed with an old Kalashnikov AK-47, fired a burst at two figures he saw making their way around the rim of the canyon, keeping ahead of the rising tide of sunlight. But it was at extreme range, and he didn't think he'd had much success. If they were escaping slave workers, then either the cold or the trackies would certainly pick them off. It was still bitingly cold, and Ryan and the boy hurried through the redoubt and into the gateway chamber, with its walls of dark, dark brown armaglass. Ryan pressed the button that should return them to the last destination used by the Matrans unit, praying hard as he did so that none of Zemyanin's sec men had used it since their previous jump. Dean had the heavy Browning tucked into his belt, his face split in a great grin.
It's good to be going home again, Dad.
The jump mechanism was already triggered, the discs glowing, and the air around them becoming thicker. Ryan could hardly hear his son's words through layers of gauze. But he managed to nod and smile. The morning was scorching hot. There was a light wind carrying the sharp scent of sagebrush to their nostrils as they stood together, drawing in deep breaths of the New Mexico air. It hadn't been a bad jump. Dean had been sick, Ryan had suffered a small nosebleed, but now they were out of the claustrophobic depths of the ruined redoubt, only a few miles away from the homestead, where they could both have a good hot bath to wash away the stinking yellow taint of the sulfur and ease the exhaustion from their bruised bodies.
Could use a good meal. Eggs, potatoes, and some thick sliced ham.
Ryan put his arm on the boy's shoulders.
And sleep for a day and a half.
Sure. Then...
Dean shaded his eyes as he stared across the land.
What's that, Dad?
A dust storm, or a...
Looks like smoke. Yeah, you can actually smell it. Smells like burned wood and kind of like charred meat.
The column of dark smoke rose and curled high above the desert until it vanished. It came from the direction of Jack and Christina's home. Ryan felt his heart tighten.
Come on, Dean. Best go take a look.
Behind them in the redoubt's heart, the walls of the silvery armor glass that formed the gateway chamber were beginning to fill with a pallid mist, and the disks in the floor and ceiling were starting to glow. Someone had triggered the Mat-Trans mechanism and was in the process of making a jump. Someone or something. Deathland's Chill Factor is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2006, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King-Williams, Nanette Savard, Karen Carbone, David Coyne, and Ken Jackson. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal editing by Brian Patton and Nathan DeBoard. Graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton and Dan Smith. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Brian Patton, Matt Webb, Dan Smith, and Nathaniel Perry. Script adapted for graphic audio by Mark Delgado. If you enjoy Deathlands, be sure to look for James Exler's Outlanders. Keep listening for exciting previews of other graphic audio titles.
Next time on Deathlands.
Ryan Cotter has fought his way through hell, a terrain that covers far too much of the Deathlands. With his son Dean at his side, he finds himself close to a safe haven for friends and comrades that has been burned to the ground. Hurried notes from his beloved Christy guide the way to answers, but the solution and his missing friends will only lead to more peril at the hands of someone Ryan should have killed when he had the chance. Ryan must free himself from the clutches of a mutant who's as clever as he is sadistic and wants Carter's blood by the gallons.
My people follow me long as I chill norms. More norms I chill, more they think I'm close to a god. You'll go out with a big bang, Carter. That I promise you. Real big bang.
You murderous freak bastard.
As good as Ryan Carter is, he's still only human. And one of his closest allies may pay for his shortcomings with his life.
Oh, Christ, Jack. No.
I'll never forgive that one-eyed bastard if anything's happened to Jack. I swear it.
New friendships are made, old allies are rediscovered, and fresh hatred is forged in the Deathlands. Don't miss 1 minute of Deathlands number 16, Moon Fate.
Deathlands 16, Moon Fate. Will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting July 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advanced copy of Moon Fate. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
MacBolan number 92, Breached. In the exciting conclusion to the Frontier Wars adventure, the battle between the Kung Lok Chinese Triad and the Carrillo-Mexican drug cartel comes to a head.
Tell me where Nievas is.
He's gone to Las Vegas to defeat those yellow bastards who destroyed our plans. They betrayed him, and they ruined my chances of ruling a new empire. So fuck you and your heroics.
And Bolin learns that the threats now reach the American shore.
There's about to be big trouble. We need to get to Vegas before something disastrous goes down.
How disastrous?
How about a full-scale war between Yevas' troops and the Kung Lok Scarlet Dragons?
You mean in Las Vegas?